God said to Moses, I am that I am. And we're going through, and we've already looked at two. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. Jesus himself claiming to be God when he uses those words, I am. The words I am mean basically the Old Testament word is Yahweh. It was the name of God. It came from a verb that meant to be. So when God says, I am that I am, he's saying, I am that I will be. I've always existed, I exist now, and I will continue to exist. I think it was this week, one of the parents was telling me that their child asked them one time, turned to him and said, Daddy, who created God? Who created God? Isn't that a great question? Who created God? Who was it? Well, the answer is, nobody created God. God always existed. Eternity past, eternity for, he always is. God is outside of time. I was thinking about this, crazy enough, as I was driving around the other day in my car, thinking, well, God, how did you come into existence? And God very clearly said to me, look, I'm outside of time. We are so in time. We go everything by the watch. We look at our time and we set our schedules and we got to be here then and we got to go be there. And all these things, God's outside of that. There is no time that God didn't exist. God always existed. And our limited brains can't fully understand that. But God always existed. So I am that I am. I am that I will be. God will be what you need in your time of need. And that's what we are learning here. We're learning that Jesus is what we need in our time of need. And so as the bread of life, he said, look, I'm that bread that I will give to you that will satisfy your hunger, your spiritual hunger, that you will never need or have a need or a hunger for salvation, because I am your salvation. I am your security. If you believe in me, if you accept me into your life, your salvation is settled because of what I've done. So no longer do we have that hunger for salvation. No longer should we have that hunger to be forgiven, because we are forgiven. And so that's what Jesus was saying when he said, I'm the bread of life. When he said, I am the light of the world, he was basically saying, I'm the light that's come to expel darkness, so that no longer do you have to walk in darkness. You can walk in my light. When you trip, when you get dirty, when you fall into sin, come to me. I will eradicate your sin. I will shine that light upon your life, those areas of your life that I want to be you to remove, and I will remove them. He's that light. So he's our guide. He feeds us. He guides us. And now we're going to look at two more things of these seven. We're looking at seven different I am statements that Jesus makes. Let me breathe through the gospel. I don't know why I do that. Every week I'm like, slow down, slow down. Seven times Jesus will say, I am something. And, you know, I believe with all of my heart that these seven things are those seven things that each and every one of us need in this room. You may need him at different times in your life. You may have needed to know last week that he was the bread that feeds your hunger. You may need to know this week that he's the door that gives you access to salvation. Or that he's the good shepherd that cares for you. Man, that's good news. And this is what my hope is and my prayer is that as we learn these things, we'll understand how good and how awesome God is. And be able to be equipped in our own lives, but also be equipped to share that with others. Because it cannot, I'm just convinced, it cannot stop with just ourselves. Yes, Jesus came for you, but he also came for your neighbor. He also came for the person that sits next to you. He came for everyone, all the world. So we're going to look at the door of the sheep, number three. This is the third time we see Jesus say, I am. We see it in John chapter 10. Read with me in verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Notice in verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Number three thing, third thing on our list, the door of the sheep. Jesus is this door. The door that Jesus talks about is providing us access to God, providing us access to heaven. And Jesus is talking about a sheepfold. And I wanted to show you pictorially what a sheepfold looks like. And they come in various sizes. They're made with different things. But here's a picture. It's hard to see, but it's basically a rock wall with one single opening. This is a sheepfold. Okay? There's another one. I like the second picture better because there's actually a sheep in the picture. It's the same idea, though. You see around, this one's actually very nice. But only one opening, a single opening. And what Jesus is saying, I'm that opening. I'm that access. He's not a door like a physical door like we see doors in this room. He's saying, I'm an opening to give you access to me, to give you access to the Father. Think about that for a second, because I think sometimes we can just look at that and not really pay attention. You have, if you believe in Jesus, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you have access to the Creator of the universe. Do you have a problem that's bigger than that? Do you have a situation that's too difficult for the Creator of the universe? You know, and I'm not saying we discount our struggles and our difficulties and our seasons of temptation and storms that we go through and difficulties that we go through. But I'm saying, man, get your eyes off of your situation. Get your eyes upon the Creator. Get your eyes upon God who's given you this access. And Jesus is saying, I am the door. I am that doorway is really what he's saying. Come to me. Come to me. I give you that access. See, these sheepfolds were nothing fancy. And what's amazing to me is that Jesus, even when he was talking about the bread of life, even when he was talking about the light of the world, he's using practical illustrations, pictures, things around that people would identify with. He would identify with his surroundings. So they would know when he says, I'm the door of the sheepfold, they would see that instantly. They would see that immediately and they would identify with that. And he was identifying, said, listen, I'm the doorway. But did you notice in those pictures, there wasn't a back door. There wasn't a side opening. There was one door, one opening. And Jesus is basically saying, I am God. I am that access. I am the only access to heaven. Why is it? People want to find another way in. Jesus very clearly says, anybody else that gets in is a thief and a robber climbing over the side. I'm the access to God, the only access to God. And we might think, well, that's very narrow-minded. There's a world out there that wants to find their own way to heaven. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. Thieves and robbers that Jesus is talking about here was the, if you will, the religious systems of the day and the religious systems of our day. Thieves and robbers are those of us who are those that have set up man's systems of finding another way of having a relationship with God. Your relationship with God is only through Jesus Christ. It does not have anything to do with how much you study, how much you pray, how many people you lead to the Lord. That doesn't give you gold stars in heaven. I think it pleases God. But it has nothing to do with your salvation. The thieves and the robbers are the ones that say, listen, you can believe in Jesus, but you also have to follow the commands. You also have to do all of these religious things. And we have those things today. We have churches today that have requirements. You must do this. You must make sure you become a member of our church. You must make sure you make your pledge to our church. Make that commitment financially. Those don't make you in better standing with God. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves someone who's a giving person. Why? He's a giving God. But don't let those things cloud the fact that you are connected to God because of Jesus and Jesus only. He is the door. He is the only access, the one way in, the one way in. My wife and I, spring, summer, and fall, we like to leave our back door open at our house so our dogs can go in and out. But every now and again, either a raccoon might find its way in. We've had that situation. That was fun. But more times than not, it's a bird that flies into our house. And when I was studying this, it may be a silly illustration, but it makes total sense to me. So humor me for a minute. When a bird flies into the house, I'm like, oh, there's a bird in the house. This is crazy. Do you know how difficult it is getting a bird out of a house? It's like, okay, the door's wide open, right? It runs into the mirror. It runs into every window in the house. It runs into the walls. And it's like, there's the door. Fly right back out where you came. You know, and it'll land on the curtain rod and it's like, it's like, quit banging your head against things. Go out the door. And you know what I think the bird says? It's going, no, I know the door is open, but I want to find another way. I don't want to go out the way that I came in. I don't want to go out the way that sets me free. And this is what the world is doing today. It's like Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way to get to God. Jesus is that salvation. The world goes, I want to find another way. I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to be responsible to God. I want to find another way to get to heaven. I want to be a good person. Can't you just be a good person and go to heaven? The Bible doesn't say that. Well, if I go to church now and again, I've gone to church. Don't I get to go to heaven because I go to church? No. I pray. Well, who are you praying to? It's like one way to God. The world is banging its head against mirrors and glass and walls and trying to find the way out. And Jesus is saying, I'm the door. I'm the door. Come to me. And he goes on where it says, and I have access in and out. I think it's in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Very, very clear, plainly, he says it. And will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is that access. We go in to God. We go into his presence. I look at that verse that talks about, I actually wrote it down here. Let me look at it. It says, Proverbs 18 and verse 10, Jen. Says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. I see this as Jesus going, I'm the door. You come in and you go out. You come into me when you need comfort. You come into me when you need security. You come into me when you need that strength from me, when you need to hear my voice. And then you go out that door and you share with others. You share with the world. Listen, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Rest. I love that. I need to come into Christ. I need to access Christ to find that place of rest, that place where I can listen to the voice of God and he can equip me and protect me and comfort me and strengthen me so that when I go back out into the world and share him to the world, I'm equipped. I'm ready. I'm charged. I'm strong. You know, it's Matthew 28:19. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're to go out. Yes, it's nice to be in this safe place, in this place of protection with other believers that love the Lord and be in these places where we get encouraged. But we also need to make sure we go out into the world and impact the world one soul at a time. If you were here at our Christmas Eve service, I was totally blessed by one young man who stood up and gave his life to the Lord. Blessed me like crazy. And it's like, that's what we should all be excited about, is letting someone's eyes be open to the truth about Jesus Christ to be saved. Is your life making a difference? God, Jesus has said, I'm the door. I'm the one that gives you the access to God. I'm the one that gives you the strength. Now, are you going out and are you making an impact? And I'm not saying every one of us in here should be evangelists. I'm not saying that. In fact, I think there's some evangelists out there that should not be evangelists. I think there needs to be some Christians out there that just love Jesus and be normal. Be normal, please. We don't need crazy Christians out there trying to save the world. Amen. My wife gets so frustrated when they have a debate on TV and they get the craziest Christians to support our side. It's like, oh, get somebody that has a brain. Christians have brains. They don't have to look like idiots. I don't know. I'm getting off track here. Listen, Jesus says it in verse 10. Look what this access gives to us. Number one, he says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, listen, and that they may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Praise God. This access that God gives us should give us an abundant life. Now, does that mean you have a lot of stuff? No, because with stuff comes responsibility of maintaining stuff. I'm in the place where I want less stuff. That's an abundant life to me. You know, give me a nice punch, a beach chair, and an umbrella. And that's abundant life for me. You know, it's like pulling teeth from my wife. It's like, yeah, I just want to lay down and relax. That's abundant life. I don't need a lot of stuff. Jesus says, listen, I want to give you life, and I want to give it to you more abundantly. But notice what he says, the contrast between what the enemy wants for you and what God wants for you. The enemy wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. Jesus says, listen, I want to give you life. The enemy wants to destroy your life. Jesus says, I want to grow your life. I want your life to make an impact. The enemy says, I want to kill you. And Jesus says, I want to give you life eternal. What a sharp contrast. The abundant life. What does abundant life mean to you? What is it? What is it? Think about it for a second. What's abundant life to you? Are you living the abundant life? Are you saying, yes, I am right where I want to be. I'm happy. God's blessing me. I'm content. That's the abundant life. It's being in the place that God wants you to be. It's not getting everything you want when you want it. That's being a spoiled brat. We know those. That's not the abundant life. It's not having your bills paid with money left over. That's not the abundant life. That's the mature life. But it's not the abundant life. It's not about money. And it's not being able to just travel or go anywhere you want when you want. That's not the abundant life either. And I think the New Living Translation translates verse 10 much better. Listen, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Satisfying. That at the end of the day, you can go, man, I love my life. I love my life. Time and time again through my 21 years of marriage to my wife, she would ask me, do you love your life? I love my life. I love my life. And I love that we check on you. Do you love what you're doing? Are you happy with your? Because life's crazy. Life's, sometimes you want to pull your hair out. But are you happy? Yes. I'm glad what God's called me to do. I'm glad what God's called my wife to do. We're happy with our life. Yes, we're busy, but he equips us. He gives us the strength to do it. When we start getting tired, we know we're doing it in our strength, and we need to kick back a little bit. That's the abundant life. The rich and satisfying life. I love the sound of that. So Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the door that gives you that access. And I pray that you use that door regularly. I mean, I was thinking about a doorway. You know, it's like when you go to the mall, you're looking for the right entrance to the mall, aren't you? When you come to a building or a restaurant, where's the entrance? I want to park close to the entrance. Jesus is that access to get in. You can't get into a restaurant through a window. You go through the front door. Jesus says, you want the abundant life. You want all the riches I have for you. You come through me. You access through me. And the amazing thing about this doorway, the sheepfold, when the shepherd would bring the sheep, he would lead them all in. And actually, there's some pretty large sheepfolds where several flocks would be brought into the sheepfold. And in the morning when the shepherds would come back, they would just call their sheep. And their sheep, it wasn't like they were tagged or special colors. The shepherd would just call his sheep and his sheep would leave. And then they would identify because Jesus says, they hear my voice. They know my voice. Do you know the voice of God? Do you know the voice of your Savior? And maybe some of you go, what does it sound like? Jesus sounds a lot like me. To me. He sounds a lot like you to you. It's that voice that you can identify with. It's that voice that you know, that you know that you know that Jesus is speaking to you. And this shepherd was also this protector that when his sheep were in the sheepfold, he would actually lay in front of the opening so that wolves couldn't get in and that sheep wouldn't escape. So he's saying physically the shepherd was that door. He was that protection. It's good to know that our Savior is there protecting us from the enemy. I'm so thankful that I can't see all the things that God has saved me from. I'm so thankful that I don't see that he just protects me from so much that I don't have to worry about it. I just got to watch him. That's the door. That's the access that we have. That's the I am the door of the sheep. Number two, we pick up right here in verse 11, same chapter. Jesus says very plainly, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, He who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, that's most of us in this place, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. As the good shepherd, Jesus protects his people. Protects. He watches. He's mindful of the sheep, their condition, the things that are happening to them. He knows them by name. And notice, the sheep know him by name. They know him by name as well. A close, intimate relationship is what we're to have with our great and good shepherd. We're to have a great relationship with him. See, shepherds stayed with their sheep day and night. They were always with them. Isn't it great to know that Jesus is always with us? That he never will leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never depart from you. It's our job to stay close to him. It's our job to follow him. See, shepherds provided their flocks with food and water. They defended them against thieves and other animals. And they searched for those that went astray. Wow. Ever been off on your own? And you're feeling Jesus trying to get back to you? Trying to grab you back? Trying to say, come on. You're going in the wrong direction. He's that shepherd that helps get you back into the fold. He won't let you go get too far off to the side. He won't let you go too far astray before he's going to bring that conviction in your life. Going to bring you to that place where you go, nah, I got to get back. I got to get back. Back to that place. You know what that place is? We've all talked about that place. Remember when you were real close to the Lord? Remember when God was revealing himself to you in great ways? Remember when... What? What was it? What is that place where you felt so close to the Lord and we're trying to get back there? Listen, all you got to do is get close to Jesus. He's got new adventures for you. He's got new opportunities for you. You just got to come back to him. I think too many times we try to live in our past, getting back to where we used to be. God's got all new opportunities for you, and you need to live in those. Shepherds were the sole source of provision, protection, and control. Is this who Jesus is to you? Is Jesus everything to you? Is he your provision? Is he your protection? Does he control your life? And I know for some of us, oh, I don't want anybody to control my life. Man, listen, I don't want anybody but Jesus to control my life. I say, God, you direct my path. You orchestrate my steps. You lead and guide me, God. It's you. My life is in your hands. It's in your hands. He protects us from the enemy, the lies that we might listen to. When we start to say to ourselves, oh, I'm no good. I'm not worth saving. I'm not worth it. And we start to hear these lies that the enemy wants to. And the Lord's right there saying, no. You're precious to me. Precious to me. I'm your shepherd. Listen, not only is Jesus a shepherd to his flock, but notice he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Isn't it nice to know God is good? Have you experienced good things from God? I've never gotten a bad thing from God. God's always giving good gifts to his people. A good shepherd gives his life to the sheep. And certainly that is good. Nahum, I've never even quoted a verse from Nahum before this verse. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. I like this. The Lord is good always. He's always good, but he's a stronghold in your day of trouble. He's that surety. He's that strength in your time of need. Have you experienced that in your life? Do you know that he is good? Have you tested that in him, in his life, in your life with him? That's an amazing thing. Listen, it should be a great comfort to you to know that God is good. And when trouble comes, that he is that place of help. He is that, again, that strong tower that we run into. That's what we're talking about here. If you've found God to be good in your life, I think it's important to remind yourself of that. You know why? Because a situation comes up, or a problem comes up, or a trouble comes up, and we forget all the things that God has done. We forget, and we start to dwell upon the stress and the trial that we're in, and we forget the goodness of God. You know, I'm not a big journaler, but people that journal and people that know where to go in their journals, they say, oh, 10 years ago, and they open their journal, bam, there it is, and this is what God did then, and they can remember that. I think it's so important to have that sense of remembrance. I mean, God constantly reminds me of the goodness that he's been in my past. And as my protector, as my provider, he's reminding me that. Why? Because he knows I need that. He knows that we need to know that he's there, that he's in our midst, that he's protecting. The Lord is the good shepherd. We see that here. But he's also the great shepherd. And for that reason, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to jump in a couple verse references here. Hebrews 13, we'll look down at verse 20. Because I've come to believe that Jesus as our shepherd has three different aspects, past, present, and future. And I believe right here what we're going to see in Hebrews 13 is our current position that Jesus is as our shepherd in verse 20. Read with me. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's the great shepherd, we see here, but the writer of Hebrews tells us. And as this prayer, if you will, these two verses, this mini prayer, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the God who raises the dead, the God who has the power to raise dead, may he give you that peace. May he strengthen you and work to do his will through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the blood of what? The Lamb, Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for you. He's a great shepherd because now, see, he was the good shepherd when he was walking on upon the earth because he could only be around so many people. But now he's the great shepherd because he can be with each and every single one of us in this room. Is he with you? Is he in your heart? Have you accepted him? Then he's your great, great shepherd. Listen, the great shepherd knows your heart. Knows the things that are going on in your heart, knows the things that are going on in your mind. It's that same shepherd that it speaks of in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Listen to this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Is that where he's taking you? Is that the places that the Lord is showing you? He wants you to be in these places of security. Green pastures, shepherds. You know what their job was? To lead sheep to a place where they could eat and drink. That's what shepherds did. Provided for them. Their physical needs. And so too, Jesus is to lead us into green pastures. Places where we can feed. Places where we can drink. Places where we can grow and be strong. Is he leading you in that way? Shepherds don't force their sheep. Shepherds lead. Sheep are to follow. We're to be going where Jesus takes us. We're not the ones that say, I want to go to that pasture, or I want to go to that pasture. Oh, the Lord's taking us to this pasture. What pasture has God placed you in? What is that pasture? What is that place? What is your impact? What is the place of where you're to be effective for the Lord? Because he's leading you and he's guiding you. Proverbs 16:9, write this down. Because I think this is important. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Let's say that again. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. See, I think there's within the heart of every human being a certain, I'm going to call it a slant, a certain desire, a certain thing that gets you going, that's you were created to do. That thing that you were created to be. In a man's heart, plans are made. What are the plans that you have for your life? What are the hopes and the dreams? What are the things that excite you? What are the things that you're good at? What are those things that make you feel alive? Plan those things, but notice, but the Lord directs the steps. The Lord takes that gift and puts it in different places. He makes the divine connection. And I just think it's so important. What is your heart's desire? What is in your heart to do that maybe people have pushed down? Maybe the enemy has pushed it aside. There's this thing inside you that you want to do and you're going, but I can't do it. I believe this verse says, plan a way. Make plans in your heart. Make dreams in your heart. Come alive and put those things before the Lord. And then he'll direct it. See, I think we too many times turn this around. And we want God to direct and then we'll make plans. I don't see that working that way. I see it going, you got to have something in you that's God-given, God-designed, and then you got to be excited about it and you say, God, here it is. I want to do this. Now you make it happen. Let God make it happen. Let him direct your steps. Let him show you where to use that gift, because I think in the hand of God, it's going to be so much more effective. And there's too many Christians waiting around for God's direction. There are too many people waiting for God to show me where to be. I just don't know what to do. Oh, Pastor Rob, tell me what you want me to do. No. I want Jesus to tell you what to do. I want Jesus to show you. What is it in you that makes you you? Because when you are operating through those natural giftings that God gave to you, it will just work so smoothly. You won't have to follow behind you, picking up the pieces. It just works. What is that? And I want you to start making plans, guys. I want you to start saying, God, this is what I want to do. And don't. We talked about excuses on Wednesday night. Don't get to that place, well, it's not the right time. You can still plan and let God worry about the timing. That's what I think it says here. But the Lord directs the steps. I think God says, okay, you've got those things. Now I'm going to orchestrate. Now I'm going to set where you're going to do that and when you're going to do that. Leave it in God's hands. But make sure you take that stand to say, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to be a soldier for you. I'm ready to be a sojourner for you. I'm ready to be a whatever it is God has for you. Live, guys. Live for the Lord. He's your shepherd. He'll guide you. He'll never take you to a place that's all rocks and no water. He'll always take you to a place that's got filled with green pastures and running and still waters. That's what he does. He fills you and he leads you to the places of production so that we'll be profitable for his purposes. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 5. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, which is today. Now we're going to look at he's the chief shepherd, which is going to be in the future. Speaks of the future. And Peter says this in his epistle, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. It says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also are a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Here we see Jesus being described as the chief shepherd, the head shepherd. If you ask me, he's the senior pastor of all the church, of all the world. He's the number one, the chief. And what's amazing to me, he says, listen, shepherd the flock. All of us are sheep. All of us are sheep that are following the chief shepherd, that are listening to his voice, that are following after him. And guess what? When we serve him, and when we love on people, and when we do what we're called to do, there's a day coming when he appears, he's going to reward us. He's going to reward. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. Boy, I've always been told, don't touch the glory of God. Don't touch God's glory. Let God get all the glory. But if the chief shepherd wants to give me a crown, then let it be. Because you know what? That crown's going to get thrown at his feet. You're worthy of the lamb. You're the one that was slain. You're the one that did it all. You're the one that's made me who I am. Not, we don't want the glory. But God rewards those who are faithful. Faithful. Not, he doesn't reward those that are extra specially gifted. He doesn't reward those that are, smarter than others I've created. No. Just be faithful with what you have. And some, I know there's somebody here going, well, I don't really have anything. No. You have something that God gave to you. You have some gift, some talent, no matter what it is. And I think it's so important because God gave it to you. And that's what you got to look at. If it was God-given, then I need to use it. So that you too one day will see the chief shepherd return and he'll reward you for your faithfulness. Get out of his way. Let him work through you for sure. Let him work through you. Let him impart his gifts through you. But he's the chief shepherd, and that's the one he will be when he comes back. If we go back to John's gospel, this time look at chapter 11, verse 17. We're going to touch upon this quickly, and we'll probably finish it next week. Not only is he the door, and not only is he the good shepherd. Yeah, we're going to definitely do this one next week, because this is chapter 11, verse 17. And we probably know this story. You've probably heard this story many times. This is Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But Jesus says something very, very powerful here. And we're picking it up basically as Jesus is coming in. Now Lazarus is already dead and he's coming into town. Look at verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And this is so similar to the woman at the well. So similar to the woman at the well that Martha believed in resurrection. She believed that there would be a time in the future when the dead would be raised. But what she did not realize is the resurrection was standing right in front of her. Just like the woman at the well, she did not realize the Christ, the Messiah, was standing right in her midst. And listen, this is such an important thing for us as Christians to realize. Resurrection is not something that's coming in your future. Resurrection is now. If you believe, the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you rose from the dead. I can't remember the Easter 1993, when I gave and prayed that prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, Rob Taylor rose from the dead. I was dead in my sins before I accepted Christ, and when I accepted him, I rose from the dead. Because the reason that's so darn important for us as Christians, we need to live like that. We need to live like we've been raised from the dead. We need to live as though we've got our feet in heaven, not our one foot in the grave. It's like, oh, poor us, life is hard. Well, so what? God is great. You are risen. You're alive. When Jesus says, I'm the resurrection, he's basically saying, I'm it, man. I'm it. Your life can start right now. And to live that way, to realize that life is today. Make plans. Yes, plan your future, plan your vacations, plan what you're going to do over the next 5 years. People do that. But live today. Don't wait for your tomorrow to come before you start living. Don't wait till we get into heaven to start evangelizing, because everybody's going to believe when we get there. Share about Jesus today. Live as though you are alive because you are. And if you feel like you're dead, then either you're not accepting the true forgiveness of God or you haven't received the forgiveness of God. Because if you've received it, you're alive. No longer will you die. It's a spiritual truth that Christians live forever. Our bodies may die. Our bodies may go into the grave before the Lord comes back. But our soul and our spirit are immediately in the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We live forever. That's great news. It's good to know that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. That it's not me. I don't have to be a good person. I don't have to do all these things to make sure I can get there. No, I'm alive today. Are you alive today? Are you living as though you've been resurrected already? And even in all of this, as we're looking at the I ams of Christ, he's given you everything you need. Everything you need now. He can return at any moment. Are we living like that? Are we living like he can return at any second? I'm ready to go. I wouldn't mind him coming today before it snows. Come, Lord Jesus. We sing it, but do we believe it? And I know, hey, listen, I know there are those things. Oh, well, I hope the Lord waits until what? So-and-so gets saved. Yes, we certainly want everyone to be saved. But I think when the rapture of the church happens, man, there will be a lot of unbelievers all of a sudden are believers. I think so. I believe it. But I want him to come. I want him to come. I'm thankful that he's the door. I'm thankful that he's a good shepherd, that he's a shepherd and protects us. But I'm so thankful that he's the resurrection, that we have life and we need to live it to his glory and to his honor.